Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host, the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 257 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I'm talking a little Boiler Room Theater with Brad Oxnam. Enjoy in just a few minutes after these brief messages.
If you like what you hear on the Inexplicable Dumb Show, why not take a minute or two to fill out our listener survey? By filling out this anonymous survey, you'll make it possible for us to attract potential advertisers so we can keep bringing you the show for free. Go to our website and click the Listener Survey button to start now. www.inexplicabledumbshow.com.
Hey, actors! Want to set up a website that is not a Facebook account? Yeah! Use your name as your domain name. Check out DreamHost. It's easy to set up. And because you are a listener of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, you get a special treat. That's right. Go to www.dreamhost.com and enter this special code, IDS, all caps. You will receive two domain names with your web hosting package purchased from DreamHost. But only if you use the promo code IDS. And remember to use all caps on that. Just another way you get buzzed by the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play, in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater.
All right, IDSers, I am joined again in studio 1103 by Brad Oxnam. Welcome, Brad. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm great, man. Glad to be back.
Good to have you back since the last time we chatted. Now, we're here to talk a little bit about what you've been up to. Being Christmassy, I suppose. You've got the latest Christmas spirit, kind of. So what have you been doing?
Kind of, sort of. Well, I finished Spelling Bee, the one that I was here with last time. Couldn't have had a better time. It was great. It was that magical kind of show where we had, you know, the right cast, the right crew, the right direction, and then great audiences. And now I'm doing an equally as good show, Oliver, at the same theater, Boiler Room Theater. And it's one of those, we keep making fun of it because Oliver is not your typical Christmas fare, but it's still somewhat Christmassy. It's Charles Dickens, you know, Christmas Carol.
Poor, struggling people who are starving.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nothing screams Christmas more than poor, starving people.
And then beating people up at the end of the show.
Right, right. So they'll learn their lesson that way.
That's right. But it... What am I trying to say?
Well, I don't know. But what are you in this particular... Who are you playing?
I'm actually playing four people in the show. We've taken a smaller adult cast because we have so many kids in the show and the physical limitations of the Boiler Room space. I'm playing Mr. Bumble. Mm-hmm. For those not familiar with the script or the story, that's the guy who yells more at the beginning of the play. The doctor who comes and checks up on him in Act Two, and I'm also random ensemble person, and then the policeman at the end of the play. So I have a lot of costume changes, a lot of pull these pants over these other pants and put on a goofy hat and just run out there. But it's a lot of fun.
So let's see here. Have you done your detailed character development work for each character?
Oh, it's because of how fast and loose the rehearsal process was, and it's really kind of come together through just interaction with the other actors, like myself and Vicky, who's played Widow Corny, and the maid, I forget her name, Mrs. Bedwin. But she's been wonderful to work opposite of, just because we have this freedom to play around and create these crazy wild characters in the context of the rehearsal. It's been wonderful. And other actors like Dan McGee, we have this great relationship beforehand. We've worked together, I want to say, 2 or 3 times beforehand. So to interact as the doctor and Mr. Brownlow, who's one of the characters he plays, or as the or as Mr. Bumble and Mr. Brownlow, I mean, the dynamic's just great. So I didn't have to, you know, go back and search, why is this guy screaming more at the beginning of the play?
What's Mr. Bumble's favorite color?
I would guess blue. The one thing I did have to look up, though, because I'm not familiar with that term, is, you know, Mr. Bumble is called the beetle of the workhouse. And I was like, what is, outside of an insect, what is a beetle?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm not a Volkswagen, so I've got to look this up. And it turns out, okay, he's a church officer. I did not know that before this show. I've heard of it in Sweeney Todd, and I've mm-hmm. heard of it in other places. I just never got off my actor butt and went and looked it up.
Is he the guy that wakes people up during the sermon? Is that his job?
Oh,
because they used to have the people that would knock people on top of the head to wake them up.
I believe that would be accurate, because I do get to have a stick in this show that I get to use occasionally.
The prayer prod?
The prayer. I don't know. Well, if you saw it, I wouldn't call it that. They put it's basically a dowel rod with this nice little brass, I think it's more like a curtain rod ender, but you wouldn't want to get prodded with it.
it's a knocker. You have a nice,
yes, we'll call it a knocker.
You That'll have nice knockers, Brad, huh?
I do. Thank you so much for noticing.
All right. Well, brass knockers. go you. All right. So, who else adult-wise or is in the cast? Okay. Not that I don't care for kids, but you know, there's like 20 of them.
Sure,
so
no problem. Through everybody. No problem.
I want to test your memory. So,
I've mentioned Vicky White. We have Dan McGee. Jeremy Maxwell, he's playing Bill Sykes. Sorry, my memory is awful today. Kari Miller, she's playing Nancy. And we have Don Hilliker, and he's playing Fagin. And doing a fantastic job. He makes me laugh every single night. Will Lastly, he's one of the younger actors. I believe he's only 17, but he's our artful dodger. We have Laura Cockerell, who's playing Mrs. Sourberry and Old Sally, Casey Phillips, who's playing Bette, Paige Brulette, who's playing Charlotte, and then the rest is done by kids. So we have three main actors, Jeremy, Kari, and Don, who play mainly one character throughout the show. Everybody else is doubling up and doing whatever roles they are assigned to.
Right.
So it's been challenging, and a couple of friends of mine who've come to see it have said, wow, that's a lot of costume changes. We're pretty amazed by that, but it really works out just with the physical confine of the space and how many kids. We have two separate casts of kids. We call them the red cast and the green cast.
Mm-hmm.
We got two great kids that are heading up those casts. We got Matthew Dyer, and Hayden Gill as Oliver. So we've double cast the role, and each of them has brought like a different energy to the role. And they're just wonderful to watch. I mean, these kids are giving professional grade performances at a very young age. We're really impressed by them.
So are the costume changes, are they all quick, or do you have like a little?
There's a couple of them that are pretty darn quick. The first few that I have, I mean, the first four scenes, I'm Mr. Bumble in the show, so that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
The next scene, I have about, you know, a good scene long stretch to become ensemble dancer for Consider Yourself. Then I have like three songs to get ready for a police officer. But going from the opening of Act 2 to dressing up as the doctor, to dressing up for a scene change, and dressing up for Bumble again, and then Bumble right into the police officer. And at the very end of the show, when we take off the Artful Dodger, I have to run around the entire building, get out of the police officer outfit, and get back into the Bumble outfit for curtain call. So that's about the only thing I pretty much don't do is change the pants in that one. I just throw on a vest and throw on the coat and hat, and boom, I'm out there. So I do get my exercise on.
All right,
show.
Well, good. You can take care of your cardio, right?
Oh yes. So
how has it been working with the switching casts?
Switching, that's been interesting. And usually the kids are kept separate from the act, from the dressing room, just because the amount of them and how small the back room at the boiler room really is. There's only enough for really the adult actors and Oliver's and the Artful Dodger. The rest are carted over, but each of the kids have been really receptive, and a few of them are just, they're great. They're going to be complete actors when they grow up, I can tell. Or at least if they don't pursue this professionally, they're going to do it somehow. They've been really great.
Cool. So, give me show dates, and you've already opened, right? So you opened.
Yeah, we opened on November 18th, and we're going through December 23rd. So right up until Christmas, you can see this show. You'd have to check dates mainly on the website, but I know we're definitely open Tuesday, Fridays, and Saturdays. Got a couple of Thursday shows, and we'll have a couple of Sunday matinees. But right now, we're selling tickets really well. We've had a good many of sold out shows. So those of you out there in IDS land, please get your tickets early.
In your local IDS land.
Yes, your local IDS land. If you want to come from New York and see the show, by all means, get your tickets really early.
I'm thinking of my rabid fan I have in China.
So oh, okay, your rabid fan in China.
My one rabid fan I have in China.
Well, nice to meet you, man. But if I were, from what I've been told by the higher-ups and the office people, you can get tickets through the phone, 615-794-7744. That's the line to get to the office. But they actually recommend going online to boilerroomtheater.com and going to their ticket link and filling out that form, because that will go directly to the night that you want to go to and save yourself a seat. So I would recommend getting it early and going through the online system, because that's what they've really stressed to me in reserving tickets for family.
All right.
And
well, you'll find the link for that, folks, over at inexplicabledumbshow.com. So, Oliver and the multiple roles, what else is going on for you?
Oh, gosh, lots.
Are you going to be able to enjoy the holidays?
I'm hoping to. We were able to enjoy Thanksgiving. We had a couple of days off. You know, they didn't do a Thursday Turkey Day show. We were very thankful.
Right.
Not being ironic there, we were very thankful that we didn't have a show on Thanksgiving. We got to spend it with family, and we're going right up until the Christmas holiday, so we'll be able to travel around, but we'll definitely try and get together. My wife and I definitely have Christmas plans, so we just hope that we can share this lovely holiday with everybody else.
Okay, and if those hear any crunching on this audio, it's my dog eating her Cheerios. she's ignored them all day, but now that we have a guest in studio recording, she's decided to crunch on the Cheerios. So
it's because I'm special.
That's right. She only eats in front of people she likes. So
I'll have to come over more often.
No, she's doing quite well. She likes a lot of people, apparently, because she's a very fat dog.
Oh,
she's a lovely dog. Lovely dog, but she's definitely picking the wrong time to eat. Well, cool. Before you get out of here, I mean, we're into the Christmas season, and I just wanted to ask you, what are some of your favorite Christmas traditions from your family? Either from your family or that you've learned through growing up in your life that you went, oh, I like doing that. I like doing this on Christmas. And is there a certain movie? Is there a certain day that you decorate? I mean, is there any kind of ritual with the holiday season?
Well, my wife actually introduced a ritual. The day after Christmas, we went shopping for a new tree, and we were thankful to find a Black Friday deal at the Home Depot. Yo, plug. Mm-hmm. Well, we found a really good deal on a taller tree, and now that we've moved into a nicer, slightly bigger space, we can afford a bigger tree. So we did that, decorated it the day after Thanksgiving. Plastic, not a real one, just to clarify. We're not going to be sweeping up pine needles for the next 4 weeks.
But right.
So we decorated it, and I have a collection.
You said day after Christmas, you mean day after Thanksgiving?
Excuse me, day after Thanksgiving, okay. Sure. Well, we'll do that too, I'm sure.
Right.
But I have a collection of ornaments that one of my best friend's mothers from high school days, she hand makes Christmas ornaments every year, like a themed Christmas ornament. I've got like little angels made of yarn or another one made out of a spool of thread, and she creates a little doll angel from it. a Santa Claus that's made out of one of those shiny Christmas balls that you'd hang on a Christmas tree. She made it into a Santa. So I take those out every year and put them on the tree. And we just got brand new ornaments, put those up. The one thing I'm truly forgetting each time is plug it in when I get home so that the lights can shine and all this great stuff. But it was really nice. The one tradition I think I have is
they have timers for that too, you know.
Well, yeah, but we can't afford a timer, so we spent all of that money on the
tree. All right.
But the one tradition I think
timer
I
timer fund for Brad Oxnam and his family can be donations can be sent to.
I have a website. You can go to that one. My one tradition from childhood, I think, is I've always loved having a star on the top of the tree. So we're searching for a new star. The one we have won't fit on the top of our gigantic Christmas tree.
Oh, no.
Well, it's mostly the... I forget. It does fit, but it droops. And you don't want a droopy star.
You can't have a droopy star.
And you don't want the...
No flaccid stars here.
And you don't want the angel up there because then it looks like a sad angel. And you don't want you don't want the weeping angel over the manger scene.
Right.
Or maybe it's not weeping. Maybe it's just like trying to bend over and look at the manger scene under the tree.
Yeah, stoned angel or something.
But other than that, my favorite Christmas movie... God, we've been talking about this for days. I think my favorite, and this has nothing to do with the recent movie that came out, but I love The Muppet Christmas Carol. I really do. It's become a classic in our place. We watched it while decorating the tree. We'll probably watch it like 5 more times before Christmas gets here. But the music's catchy. It's got great characters. And Gonzo and Rizzo really spice up Muppet's classic.
Well, they always do. They always do. Now, I have to say that kind of in that vein, have you ever heard of Emmett Otter?
Yes, I have.
Okay. See, my wife said that was their big thing, watching Emmett Otter. I'd never heard of Emmett Otter.
Really?
No, never heard. I was like, you're just making this up. You can't find it anywhere. It's not a DVD. It's nowhere, you know. You're making this up. It doesn't exist. So several years ago, we found a copy. So that I've seen Emmett Otter, and I'm familiar with Emmett Otter. But yeah, at the time, I had not heard of it.
It came on TV a couple of times when I was in middle school. So it's one of the lesser-known Muppet classics, but I'm a big Muppet Jim Henson geek, and that one's special since that's the first one that came out after Jim Henson passed away. So lovingly dedicated to him and another Muppeteer, but it holds a special place in our heart. We always, like, my wife and I both all of a sudden start singing, "There's magic in the air this evening, magic in the air." You hear that? If you hear me whistling that backstage, guys, that's why. Because we watch that movie constantly.
Well, I love the Emmett Otter outtakes. They're pretty hysterical.
Oh, they have outtakes?
They have outtakes,
awesome! Yeah. I'm going to have to get this one.
There's some about the drum falls through. And just the fact that the puppeteer's reactions are what a human actor, if something goes wrong, they react the way a human, you know. But you know, it's just... It's just cool how the character, the Muppet, reacts like a human actor does. You know,
it's sort of like the Pixar outtakes too, like when they I love those when they purposely make an outtake.
But you could tell that these were clearly outtakes. Yeah, I mean, before you had the scene to kind of suggest what they would do. This is like things falling off the wall and rolling across the set and that kind of thing. So it's legitimate, you know, things going wrong to outtakes. So it's pretty cool.
Another one in that same vein that I still love, but I can't find it anywhere on DVD or video. I still have a video player. I'm sorry.
So do we. It's not quite extinct.
There's one Muppet Christmas special that used to come on TV all the time where they got all the Muppets from all three of the major shows. You had the Muppets, you had Sesame Street, and you had Fraggle Rock. They made them all come together in that one special. That was just beautiful. I remember they had Robin, Kermit's nephew, was the focus of it. And he would, like, he lost the lucky pebble or something. Or lost something, went to the basement. And there were the Fraggles in this house's basement to give him a Christmas miracle. Woohoo! Comes back up, and there's the Swedish chef trying to cook Big Bird and all this crazy.
Wow.
It was beautiful. I thought it was hilarious.
Well, if anybody has ever seen that episode and can prove that Brad is not crazy or having some flashbacks, please call the Inexplicable Dome Show, 615-866-1282. Once again, it's Oliver by Boiler Room Theater. We kind of got sidetracked about Christmas stuff, but give me the dates again. You run through?
We run through December 23rd.
And we need to go to what website?
We need to go to www.boilerroomtheater.com, all one word, all lowercase. You can also call the office, although we prefer the website. The office number is 615-794-7744.
So there
you
go.
See you there.
Yeah, there you are. So again, looking for that information, looking for a link to that information, go over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com, and I'll have that posted with the show notes. Well, thank you very much, man.
Thank you, sir.
I was going to say, so you lay your best British dialect on
here. Oh, well, Merry Christmas and a happy holidays to everyone out there in the Inexplicable Dumb Show. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right, so I want to thank Brad Oxnam for stopping by and chatting up Boiler Room Theater's production of Oliver. Go out and support your local artists. If you're looking for links of information about Boiler Room Theater, you will find them on our website, www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. If you've got thoughts about this episode, put them in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or you can leave a voicemail, 615-866-1282. You can follow us on Twitter, Inexplicable DS, capital I, Inexplicable, capital D, capital S, Inexplicable DS. And while you're going out and support, and speaking of support, supporting your local artists, if you're in a giving mood and you want to look for a perfect stocking stuffer gift for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, I have a little suggestion for you. If you go to our website, www.inexplicabledumbshow.com, and you look in the upper left column of our three-column width webpage, you should see a little blue button that says Hosting Donations Accepted. And I am asking for donations to help me cover the cost of my web hosting fees. Now, the money that you donate, if you should choose to donate, will go directly to my web hosting company. And I won't receive a check or anything. It goes directly to cover my costs. So I'm not going to go out and buy my own Christmas gifts with your donations. Not that I would do that anyway. So humbly, if the Dumb Show has brought you some joy over the years, I humbly ask you to lend a little support. As I'm going to need it for a while, I think. So, again, if anybody's out there and enjoys the show and wants to help out, and I've found the way that you can. So, make that donation. Hosting Donations Accepted button. It's a little blue button. It works. The money's going to go to DreamHost, and they accept payment via PayPal. So, making a donation would make you look very awesome and be super cool person. And I thank you humbly from the bottommost part of my heart. So until next week, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's MAGNATUNE. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.